coordinate the proposals of the four delegations on a number of points in the report of the Allied Control Council in Germany. The Special Committee did coordinate a number of proposals on the demilitarization, denazification, and democratization of Germany, and also on points concerning territorial reorganization and population transfers. Grouped in the second half of the committee's report are proposals which remained outstanding. On Malta's suggestion, the ministers resolved to give their final approval to the proposals coordinated in the special committee after they discussed the other major questions. An interchange of opinion followed on the points which the special committee had failed to coordinate. All four ministers took part. The Soviet delegation proposed an addendum to the point which provides that land reform throughout Germany should be completed this year. The addendum specifies that the land of big estate owners and users shall be handed over to the peasants with a view to increasing agricultural production. This Soviet proposal was not supported by the other three delegations. Differences in opinion that developed over the issue of giving democratic parties and free trade unions the opportunity to set up their organizations on an old Germany scale. The American, British, and Soviet delegations favored a decision in this sense. The French delegation opposed it and suggested, moreover, that the activities of parties and trade unions should be confined within the limits of the individual states. The ministers also discussed matters relating to elections in Germany. The Soviet delegation proposed that the system of proportionate representation should be used as ensuring democratic elections and fair distribution of votes. This proposal met with objections from the British and American delegations. The French delegate supported the idea of proportionate representation in principle, but proposed that it should be practiced within the confines of the individual states. Thereafter, the ministers instructed the special committee to make another detailed study of the question of the industrial demilitarization of Germany. This news bulletin is coming to you from Radio Moscow. Collective farmers and workers in factories and machine and tractor stations of Kemerovo region in Siberia have sent a letter to J.V. Stalin saying that they are entering the countrywide competition in honor of the 30th anniversary of the October Revolution. The Kemerovo collective farmers undertake to increase the area sown to spring wheat by 30% in comparison with last year. Soviet coal miners also participating in the competition have new production successes to record. All the pits in the Stalino region of the Donbass completed their program for the first quarter before time and brought up 16,000 tons of coal over plan. Miners of the Kuznets coal field in Siberia topped their March plan. The State Publishing House for Children's Books in Moscow is celebrating the 500th anniversary of the birth of the great Uzbek poet and thinker Alisher Navoi by putting out a collection of his works. The Ministry for Higher Education of the USSR has announced that this year 20,000 students will enter 32 universities in the Soviet Union. The Moscow Film Studio has begun work on a new picture, The Battle of Stalingrad. Today, Nikolai Virta, the author of the scenario, gave a reading of it in the Moscow Writers' Club. The first football match of the season was held today in Baku, capital of Azerbaijan Soviet Republic. The Baku team met one from Kyiv, the Ukrainian capital. The Baku men won by a score of 3-0. Yesterday evening, the Lord Mayor of London gave a dinner in honor of the Supreme Soviet Delegation now in England. Among the guests were Mr. Attlee, Mr. Jowett, the Lord Chancellor, and the Chairman of the London County Council. Speeches were made by the Lord Mayor and by Kuznetsov, head of the Soviet delegation, underlining the importance of cooperation between the peoples of Great Britain and the Soviet Union. Kuznetsov said, "We must not permit any attempts to split our friendship. We must resolutely expose war intentions and advance confidently to the solution of problems facing us in the interests of our peoples." The Security Council Commission for Investigating the Situation along the Northern Greek Frontier has completed its work in Yugoslavia, says the Belgrade report. Examination of witnesses called by the Yugoslav representative showed that Yugoslav collaborationists and criminals went over onto Greek territory, where they were then recruited into armed bands of Greek monarchists. These mercenaries were paid big sums in pounds and drachma. The Yugoslav representative, Gerge, says that the Greek government had already spent 50 million drachma for this purpose. The commission also examined Greek subjects who said that the ferocious terror of the Greek government had compelled them to leave their country and flee to Yugoslavia. These witnesses stated that a number of villages had been burned to the ground by the Greek government troops. The Baghdad paper, Saud al-Akhali, condemning Truman's plans in Greece and Turkey, writes that the United States policy in the Middle East is dictated by the monopolies, which are striving to seize the tremendous wealth in that part of the world. The paper says that Truman should not try to camouflage himself with fine words about defending freedom. If he wants to speak the truth, says the paper, he should say that the American companies are wanting to seize the oil of the Middle East. The Egyptian paper, Al-Balad, sharply criticizes the government-organized celebration of the British evacuation of the Cairo barracks on March 31st, pointing out that what is really happening is no real evacuation, but a strengthening of British occupation. The paper says that the people should not be deceived and reminds them that it will be time enough to rejoice over evacuation when the last British soldier leaves Egypt. A London report says that according to dispatches received this morning, 95% of the rural miners have joined the food strike. In the Lower Rhine district, the workers in heavy industry and transport have come out with the miners, closing down the whole of industry. The Stockholm correspondent of the Finnish Telegraph Agency reports that Captain Kuramo, a defendant in the secret arms case who fled the country, has reported at the Stockholm police station. The Swedish Commission for Foreign Citizens is looking into the question. The UN Secretariat has announced that the Soviet Union, France, China, and the United States have approved the proposal to call a special session of the General Assembly to examine the Palestine situation. The British government has officially applied to the Secretary General of UNO with a request to call such a session. All member countries of UNO will be informed of this request. The date for the session will be announced as soon as all member countries agree to it being summoned. At its meeting yesterday, the Security Council approved the United States application for trusteeship over islands formerly under Japanese mandate. Members of progressive organizations in the United States, at present subject to persecution by the American authorities, have announced that they intend to place before the Supreme Court a question of the right to defend cooperation between the United States and the Soviet Union as a foundation for world peace. Mr. Lamont, formerly chairman of the National Council of American-Soviet Friendship, stated that the so-called House Committee for Investigating Un-American Activities failed in its attempt to bring a charge against him. He emphasized that such efforts were based on slander launched against him as a man sincerely striving for American-Soviet cooperation. The New York Post reports that the Congressional Commission still refuses to permit the publication of the pamphlet Fascism in Action. The Democrat Flipman, a member of the House of Representatives, in his preface to the pamphlet, utters a warning about the presence of a fascist danger in the United States, camouflaged under various names. You've been listening to the news from Radio Moscow. We continue with a survey of the day's clips. Today's newspapers front page a letter from farmers in the Andijan region of the Uzbek Republic to Generalissimo Stalin. The farmers of the Altai, the Kuban, and the Volga region are already taking part in the countrywide production drive to mark the 30th anniversary of the October Revolution. Now the cotton growers of Andijan have followed suit. In their letter, they promise to extend the area under cotton by 25,000 acres, to considerably increase the crop yield, and to sell the state 100,000 tons more cotton this year than last. Pravda, Izvestia, Food, and the other papers in their editorials emphasize how important is the undertaking of the Andijan farmers, who call on all cotton growers in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Azerbaijan to follow their example, for the whole country is profoundly interested in the development of cotton growing. thanks to state health rights reform, cotton growing in our country has become one of the leading branches of agriculture. In the pre-war year of 1940, the USSR produced 3.5 times more cotton than old Russia did in 1913. The USDA points out that in spite of post-war difficulties, the cotton-growing farms have received great help from the state in the way of tractors, trucks, agricultural machinery, and fertilizer. Concrete facts about government help rendered to the farms are given in an article in today's Pravda by Minister Pervukhin of the USSR's chemical industry. The minister writes that this year the chemical industry will supply agriculture with 85% more fertilizer than in 1946. The Soviet republics and Central Asia come in for a considerable share of the total output of fertilizer. World affairs are given prominent column space in today's papers. The post-war political and state structure of Germany is discussed by Doctor of Law Mankowski in the Red Star and by Leonidov in Izvestia. Analyzing the various schemes for dismembering Germany, the author of the Red Star article arrives at the conclusion that the realization of these reactionary projects would make the separate German states easy prey of the foreign monopolies, whose onslaught they would be helpless to resist. In his work here, Leonidas writes that the motives behind the plans for federalizing Germany have nothing in common with genuine concern for the consolidation of peace and for the democratization of Germany. A split-up Germany constitutes a potential danger to peace. It is at the same time an ideal arena for the intrigues and machinations of those international circles which are least of all interested in the preservation of peace. The question of reparations is examined by Hoffman in today's Krug. The author points out that the reparations problem is at present being made use of by the international monopolies in the interest of so-called dollar diplomacy. And means are being used to bring pressure to bear on other countries. A Pravda correspondent at the trial of Guido Schmidt, former Austrian Minister of Foreign Affairs, writes in his dispatch that from the very beginning of the trial, a definite tendency can be felt on the part of its organizers to whitewash the policy of Schuschnigg and to exonerate the fascist Catholic clique that was in power in Austria before the Anschluss. The correspondent writes that all objective observers at the trial are surprised that the other Austrian reactionaries who betrayed the country to Hitler and then helped him in his military adventures are not in the dock with Schmidt. The Pravda correspondent goes on to say that Austria has lately been witnessing a revival of pan-Germanism. This is accompanied by increased activities on the part of fascist elements. The occupation authorities and the Western powers, and first and foremost the British and American authorities, are not taking the necessary steps to curb the reactionaries. The press today carries reports on the work of the Foreign Minister's Council. The papers report the arrival of the Yugoslav delegation in Moscow and the reception of its leaders Kardel and Simic by Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov. The papers also give considerable attention to the premiere of Konstantin Simonov's new play, The Russian Question, at the Moscow Komsomol Theater. Simonov's play, the father writes, describes the feverish activities of the reactionaries abroad who are trying to establish a policy of brutal force in international relations. These people regard the Soviet Union as the main obstacle in their path. Hence, they are doing everything in their power to libel and slander the USSR and to conceal the truth about Soviet democracy from their people. Simonov's play is the story of Harry Smith, an American journalist who tried to write truthfully about the Soviet Union in a country of bourgeois democracy. This proved impossible. The reviewer, Krivitsky, writes in the Red Star that all the characters in the play are true to life, and that the play itself is written with a warm feeling of sympathy for all honest people in America. The papers pay high tribute to the new production of the Moscow Komsomol Theater. And that was a review of the day's Soviet press. Moscow Newsreel comes to you on the hour. Until then, there's a short musical interlude featuring Soviet jazz.